a great honor to be before God's own people. By the special grace of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I was speaking on the topic, the city whose builder is God. The city whose builder is God. When I was asked to minister this morning and I prayed and asked God, what should we speak about? And he said, speak on the city whose builder is God. My prayer that is, as this word comes forth to you this morning, you will have an encounter with him. And this word will mix with faith in your heart. It will quicken you, transform you, and make you the best version that God has made you. Amen. I want to start from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. I'm taking the text from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 11, verse 8. The Bible says that it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God will give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. I want you to follow closely. We are going on a short journey this morning. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. Foundation that will outlast humanity. A city designed and built by God. You know, we call Abraham the father of faith. But the truth is, just like when I'm doing Bible study, the Old Testament is like an archetype of what the New Testament is. So, you know, it's just like if you take the plan of a building, it shows you that there will be a room here, this will be the size of the room, but that is not the building. The building is when it is built, right? So the Old Testament is the plan of the house. The New Testament, or the present dispensation that we are in, is the building. So when you are reading the Old Testament, it's showing you how it is, or it's supposed to be. Okay? So that will give us context as we go on in this message this morning. So while preparing this message, I was led to find out what is the origin, the etymology of city, C-I-T-Y. What's the true meaning of city? And the word city has its etymology from the Latin word sitivus. That is where city came from. And it means citizenship or community member. So what God was calling Abraham to was to become a citizen of a city that he built. That was what God called Abraham to come unto. He wanted him to become a community member of a city whose foundation is eternal. And Abraham took God's word hook, line, and sinker and went that way. Now, we need to understand that in this city, the modus of operation is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's just like when you buy a new laptop or you buy even Apple, there is an operating system that makes things to work in that laptop. In this city, the OS is the Holy Spirit. Right? That's the OS in this city. And the truth about this city is that what makes things work is a spoken word of God. What God says is what holds in this city. And so if you are being called into this city, you must understand what he says concerning everything that is about your life. And you have to say it. You have to declare it. You have to operate by it. As the Holy Spirit is the operating system that brings up this revelation to you, you have to operate by these words. So, the question now is this. What gave Abraham so much confidence to go all the way? God said, leave your country, leave your family, leave your kindred, leave everything, and go to a city that I will show you. Why was he so confident, even though nothing was in sight? If we quickly go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. I'm also taking from most of the scripture that I'm using today is from the New Living Translation. I want us to follow this conversation. God was speaking to Abraham. And that's another thing that we need to understand about operating this city. It's just like a father to the son or a mother to the child, right? There is always conversation between the father and the son. You must hear your father. It's a must. It's not only a pastor that hears God. Everyone in this city hears the father. You must hear. That's the only way you can operate. Now, this conversation was going on between God and Abraham. He said that, from verse 1, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years old, left everything. Was from a wealthy family, he left everything, and he went on the word of God. So, what gave him the confidence? In that passage, there are seven promises that God gave him. Seven. Just that conversation, there were seven promises there. The first one, he says, a promise to make him the father of a great nation. I want us to know something here. Until you hold God with his word and go with it, you cannot become the father of a great nation. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, the Bible says that ye are a chosen nation, a peculiar people. I have called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. to show forth my praises to the world. That is, he wants you to become the evidence of this citizenship to the world. He wants you to be a showcase, right? And so you can only operate in that dimension if you become a father to the nation. And you become a father by holding fast to his word. The second promise is that a promise of blessing him. The blessing, not blessings. The blessing is the catalyst that brings out so much blessing. It's the same blessing that was upon Isaac that he flourished in Gerar. It's the same blessing that was upon Jacob that left his father with just a rod, shepherd's rod, and he multiplied under Laban. It's the same blessing that was upon Joseph that he flourished in Egypt. So there is something about you having that connection to the Father. It will make you a blessing. That is why he says that anyone who blesses him will be blessed. It means that the one that attached to the one blessed of the Father becomes blessed. So because you are a citizen, right, of this city, yeah, you can transfer blessing to your household. You can become the conduit through which the blessing comes to your community just because you're a citizen of the city. Another thing he said, that a promise to curse those who curse him. That means it becomes like a rebuttal. Yeah? The Bible says that, it said, though the enemy come in one way, they shall flee in seven ways. So, if there is an attack, there is a wall. He said that, I will be like a wall of fire around about you. Huh? And so when there is a curse that comes, the curse is going to rebound back in sevenfold because you are a citizen of that city. That is the expansion of those who curse him shall be cursed. It rebounds back. And it doesn't rebound in onefold, it rebounds in sevenfolds. That is some of the things that God gave him. He said, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, that one is the connection to Jesus Christ. Because as a carrier of the Holy Ghost, right, you become the source that God can use to draw men unto Christ. You become the channel through which the blessing can continue. Because if you come as saved, yeah, God can save others through you. And that's how the blessing continues. These are the promises that God gave him. And he went all the way until he got to where God was telling him. So the truth is this. God is still in the business, yeah, of calling out to everyone today. God wants everyone to be part of this city. God wants everyone to be citizens of this city where everything is ordered by him. A citizenship with eternal foundations and protocols which operate above earthly protocols. In this citizenship or in this city, earthly protocols are suspended. That's the truth. That is why you can speak his word and it comes to pass, even though the world is saying something different. That is why you can operate in a different economy, even though you are in the economy of the world. Because you are not part of the world, as long as you move into his own space. So, Abraham is called the father of faith because of what he did And he, by virtue of what he did, he set a standard of walking with God to receive God's promises. So he gave us a kind of framework, a template that you can use over and over again. It will still be the same thing. God is not a magician. God is God, and his word remains true. It is the same in Europe, it is the same in South America, it is the same in Asia, it is global. So, what did Abraham do for the human race? He gave us a template that Jesus now formalized. Yeah? Let's see the template. There was a conversation between God and Abraham in Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15 from verse 4. God and Abraham were having a conversation just before, I think he had, what's the name of the first child now? Ishmael, yeah. There was a conversation in Genesis 15. This conversation is very interesting. Look at what God and Abraham were saying. He said, "Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I'm giving you.'" Now, mind you, at this point, Abraham had none. Now, listen to the conversation. 5, he said that, "Then the Lord brought Abraham outside beneath the night sky and told him, 'Look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count.'" Now, see what Abraham did in verse 6. "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith." Abraham didn't say anything, but in his heart, he believed what God said. Question is this: what has God said about you that you are still doubting? What is the word that has been sent to you, whether in the word or in the message, or maybe you are listening to a song or a message or something? It just came, and it was like it just stuck on you, and you're like, "Is it? Is it not? No. What is that word?" And you are dilly-dallying on it. The truth is this: until you embrace that word fully, all the blessings attached to the manifestation of that word will not come to pass. Look at what Abraham did here. Abraham believed. And what did God do? God said that you are righteous. So righteousness has to do with honoring what God says. Pure and simple. God called him righteous by virtue of what he did. And what did he do? He obeyed, he believed what God said. That was all. And so, what did Abraham do? He gave us a template that is now echoed again in Hebrews. That you can only please God by faith. God is particular about what you believe, his word. So if you jump to Hebrews chapter 11, we want to find out what is faith in itself. It's a popular definition. But some years ago, while I was meditating, the Holy Spirit now expanded this definition for me, which I will share with us today. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that, I'll read both King James and New Living Translation. Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says that, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is KJV. New Living Translation says that, "What is faith? It is a confident assurance that we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see." Now, That is the definition everywhere. Everybody say faith is something. So what is actually faith? He said the substance of things hoped for. A substance is something you can handle, right? Something you can handle. That means you are hold on to it. So, it is tangible. A substance is tangible. So what is this tangible thing about faith? Yeah? What is the substance of things hoped for? It is what the word of God has declared about what you are hoping for. What has the word of God declared to you or written in the Bible concerning what you are hoping for? What does the word of God say concerning it? Can you find it? If you can find it, then that is the substance you need to hold on to. Because God said it to Abraham, and he held on to it, that this person does not lie. So, what is it that you're looking for? Have you found a scripture that backs it? Are you able to hold on to it? Right? It is what God has said about your expectations. That is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen is the immutability of God himself. There is none like him. The immutability of his character, the immutability of his will, the immutability of his promises. God's word, God himself is immutable. That is why his word can be taken to the bank. Is this Psalm 109 verse 105 that talks about, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Forever. That means from age to age, your word remains the same. So you can now look at faith as his word and himself. So those are the two things that make it sure that it will happen. The only problem is when you doubt. Once you entertain doubt or you embrace doubt, you have already negated the power for that expectation, for that promise to come to pass. We're talking about the city whose builder is God. These are the protocols that operate in that city. Now, why is God immutable? Why is he immutable? Why is it that I can rest on him? Why is it that if I have a problem, if I have a challenge, I can say, God, save me, and he will show up? Why? Let's jump to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 16 to 18. Hebrews 6 verse 16 to 18. It says that for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who are fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God's word and himself. Those are the two immutable things. You can take it to the bank. That is why you can operate in the world and the operations of the world does not have control over you. You are in the midst of storm and you have peace. Everywhere is chaotic and you are at rest. It's not normal. It's because you know that there is someone who is backing you. You have an exam and you're wondering, how am I going to pass this exam? But you remember that there is the Holy Spirit who gives you inspiration. This one is not about preaching. I have experienced it before. There was a time that, I think that was in my first degree, I have never failed any exam. And this was my fourth year. And I got 38 F in a module or in a course. So I was wondering, why did I fail this course? Because it was strange to me. How will I feel? So I went to pray about it. And God said that the reason why you had to fail was because I need you to help the people who have been carrying over that course so that they will pass. I said, oh, okay. I said, so how are we going to do it? He said that this exam is going to come, because by the time I was going to take it again, I was in my fifth year. And he told me, he said that the exam is going to come on the same day with a fifth year course. So that means I had to prepare and be ready for it and the fifth year course. So I'll have one course in the morning, another one in the afternoon. He said that you need to be ready 2 weeks before the exam. And this is how you're going to do it. Now, when I was preparing, he showed me about four questions. He said, these questions, solve all these four questions and go and do tutorial for people who have been failing the exam. He said, make a photocopy of the solutions and give it to some people. There are some people who don't need tutorial. They only need a guide on how to do this thing. And I was just following the instructions. On the day of the exam, when the timetable of exams came out, it was exactly as I said. The fourth year course was in the morning, the fifth year was in the afternoon. And when they gave me the questions for the exam, they were the four questions that I was given before the exam. I was like, whoa, okay. Now, when the exam finished and we got the result of the exam, two people had A's. I and one person in the fourth year got A's. All the people who failed, who had been failing before, some got a B, some C, some D, some E. Nobody got F. And that's how everybody was lifted. So I now understood why he said I was hard to fail. Why did I share that testimony? Even if it looks as if it is bad, right? Please seek for what he has to say concerning that bad situation. Never ever fret. As long as you are a member of the city whose builder is God, you have no reason to worry. Even in the storm, even in the pain. In that pain, find time to separate yourself and go and ask God, what do you have to say over this matter? This is something that is disturbing me. Once he says his word, take it to the bank like Abraham. You know why? The Bible said that, and he sent his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from all their destructions. So always seek for his word over every situation, over every matter. That's the truth. Always seek for what he has to say. So we see that the how you operate in this city is based on faith. His word himself. So wherever you are, whether in the United Kingdom, Spain, Barcelona, Asia, South America, anywhere you are, Portugal, Barcelona, anywhere, there is a currency that is spent in this city. What's the currency of the United Kingdom? What's United Kingdom's currency? Let's say it's loud. Pound sterling, right? There is also a currency spent in this city. What is the currency? Faith. It has universal appeal everywhere. So in this city, faith is the only currency that is spent. So what is our faith? His word, himself. So you are faced with a precarious situation. You don't know how to navigate a situation. Please find your way back to him. Get his word and now go with it. Abraham gave us a template. Believe totally, no doubt, it will happen. 2020 COVID was when I got the offer to come into this country. Well, about 10 years, for a period of 10 years, right? Because I've had calls to come to UK for masters, travel to South Africa for PhD, traveling around, right? And every one of my friends will always say, Larry, why don't you take your family and relocate abroad? They're always telling me that you are the one that's always traveling. Why don't you take your family? And I was always saying something. I said that if I'm going to travel out, it will be by an offer. And the offer will take me and my family, and I will not start from the bottom. I was always saying that. I was saying that for close to 10 years. When it will happen, it happened exactly as I've been saying it. The offer came. It took me and my family and came into the system, not from the bottom. A job was waiting. I don't know. You see, in this city, God backs his word. We have entered the second half of 2024. What did he tell you at the beginning of this year? Do you still remember? What has been said or prophesied over your life? Do you have a record? Can you realign it back to his word? It is until you start declaring it and believing it that it will happen. I want to challenge each one of us today that no matter what life throws at you, no matter what it is, yeah, he has a word for you. Faith is the only currency that you can carry with you anywhere in the world and obtain anything, because it is guaranteed by the immutability of God himself, his word, his will, his character, and his promises. So the question now is this. Haven't heard this. What do you need to do? To dwell in that city with eternal foundations, whose builder, whose architect, whose designer is God? What do you need to do? Let's check the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18 from New Living Translation. It says that don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can goodness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Can you boldly say today, God is my God? Can you boldly declare that? Therefore, come out from among them and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from out of them. Come out. Be separate. Come out. Step out. That was what he told Abraham. Come out. These guys are not going to help you to fulfill your purpose. You need to step out. So he told Abraham, step out. He's still saying the same thing today. Because until you step out and join him, you cannot receive the comforter. You cannot. And it is only those who have received the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that have the right to say that I'm the son or daughter of the Almighty God. Only. Underlined. Only. You know, God does not, he has no partiality anywhere. Fulfill the requirement, you have it. He's no respecter of persons. Yeah? That's why in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, Romans 8 verse 14, he said that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Only those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So, how do you operationalize the currency of faith in your life? How do you operate it? How do you make it operational in your life? If you check Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, which is here, Hebrews 11 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The world were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what that means? That means that the moment you become a member of this city, right, you take on the ability of God. One of those abilities is to be able to create. That's why you can become a co-creator with God. When the Holy Spirit inspires you. Now, let us break it down into practical stuff here. You know, it says in that verse 3 that, so that things which are seen were not made of things, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, the chair that you are sitting on, how was it made? Can somebody help us with the, how was the chair you are sitting on, how was it made? Where did it start from? It came by inspiration. Somebody conceived the idea that I could design something like this, and he went to execute it, and we now have a prototype. That prototype now became mass produced. But it all started from what was unseen in the heart. The building that we are in today was designed by an architect who conceived this to be like this. The same way God is. So, for us to become a blessing to our world, God has deposited so much great things in us. Gifts, talents, potentials that are waiting to be activated. Many are seated here that the world is waiting for to manifest. Many are seated here, and in them are the solutions that some people need. But you know how you can do it? The Bible said that, and ye shall receive power. Acts 1 verse 8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is power in physics? The ability to do work. So, let's put that into the definition or into that scripture. You shall receive the ability to do work when the Holy Ghost come upon you. So, the gifts, the talents, the potential inside you will be activated by the power of the Holy Ghost when it comes upon you. So, the truth is this. You can only operationalize this faith currency when you begin to operate as said in this place. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So you must first of all see it with the eye of the Spirit and make it manifest. You want to take over the land for Christ? You want to minister for Christ? You must first of all see that you can minister and take over for Christ. Then the inspiration on how it will be done will start coming to you. And all the resources of heaven, of earth, will start coming together and aligning because you have agreed with that. And that's how it will happen. I want to challenge each one of us today that God, the builder of this city, is calling upon each one of us again. Whether you have been saved, or you are not saved, or you are backsliding and you want to come back, God is calling on everybody. Will you honor his call? Or you just allow it to slide? Are you ready? I call it RAW. R-A-W. Are you ready? Available and willing. Are you ready? Are you available? And are you willing? You know, he says that, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. He says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. God is always calling. Are you willing to accept this citizenship that Christ said that ye have become joint heirs with me? The moment you become a heir of a kingdom, that means all rights come to you also, right? Are you ready? Are you willing to submit wholeheartedly to the protocols of this city? My dear friends, that's a big call this morning. Are you ready? If it is to be, it is up to me and you. I want you to say that to yourself. If it is to be bold enough. If it is to be, it is up to me. If I'll be a citizen of this city, whose builder is God, it is up to me, no one else. Amen. Is there anyone that is here that wants to say that, God, I just want to rededicate my life, or I want to surrender my life for this? I've heard your word, I just Father, I need your help. Anyone like that? As we begin to prepare for the Holy Communion? Anyone? God is calling. God is calling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We appreciate you, Lord. Amen. All right, let us rise. Let us rise and just appreciate God this for his word. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. He alone is worthy. He's calling on us. He wants us to rise. I want you to make a promise to God this morning. That Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Use me to every level that you want me to go. Please, I want you to pray that prayer sincerely from the bottom of your heart. From this day, Lord, I want to be a blessing indeed. Help me, Father. Strengthen me by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah.